Please turn in your Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's encouraging again to see so many here tonight. And I would just like personally to welcome you all here. Thank you for coming. I know that many of you have been here night by night, and we do appreciate the support that you've given in the mission. Do remember the meetings next week and Sunday night in the will of the Lord. We're going to be preaching on the subject, what Jesus said to a religious man. Therefore, if you know any religious men or women, you get them in on Sunday night to hear that message. The text tonight can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's the verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help as we come to preach God's Word this evening. Father in heaven, we come before Thee again this evening, and we thank Thee, Lord, for Your presence with us tonight again. And O God, as we turn now to the precious Word of God, we pray, Lord, that You would come again. O God, we pray, come again and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we pray as we would deal with this wonderful subject tonight, Lord, that You would come and help us. We pray, Lord, that You would touch our lips with the live coal from off the altar. And O God, that You would hide us far behind the cross, that none would be seen, save Jesus only. We pray for those in this meeting who are not saved. O God, we ask Thee in Jesus' precious name that You would speak to their hearts. And, O God, that You would draw them to Christ. We pray for those, Lord, who have been halting between two opinions, coming night by night, still not saved. O God, may this be the night when they will close in with God's free offer of salvation. Lord, we need Thee to work. And we thank Thee, Lord, and we believe You have been working. We pray, Lord, tonight again that You would come by Your gracious Holy Spirit and, Lord, reach down and snatch brands from the burning. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The subject that I want to preach upon this evening is simply entitled, The Death of Christ. Our text says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. My friend, could any preacher have any greater subject than the one we plan to preach upon this evening? Of all the great themes that are in the Bible, and there are many of them, there's no greater theme than the theme of the cross. The cross work of Christ is the essence of the gospel message. Indeed, if the Son of God had not died and rose again, then we would not be gathered in this meeting tonight. Because without the death of Christ, there would be no gospel to preach. The central message of all the preachers in the New Testament was the cross. Peter said, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. John said, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And it was John the Baptist who said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. However, not only was the cross the central theme of every New Testament preacher, but it was also the central message of every Old Testament prophet. Right from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi, time and time again, through shadows and types and direct prophecies, the cross work of Christ was set forth for all to see. Men and women, there is a scarlet thread running throughout the whole Bible. And that scarlet thread is Christ's redemptive work upon the cross. And no matter where you read in the Word of God, if you look closely enough and study deeply enough, you will discover that scarlet thread. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have the Apostle Paul drawing our attention again to this wonderful subject of the cross work of Christ. And in the midst of his message on the death of Christ, Paul draws our attention to three very important truths about the death of the Lord Jesus. And very simply tonight, I want us to take a look at this text of Scripture. And I do pray that if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, that you will listen very carefully, because again this evening I do believe that there is a very clear and simple message for your heart. Does the cross make a difference? My friend, the cross makes all the difference. The cross is the difference between heaven and hell. The cross is the difference between being saved and being lost. The cross is the difference between knowing that your sins are forgiven and knowing that your sins are not forgiven. And I pray this evening that as we deal with this text and consider the death of Christ, that the Lord will write His Word, upon your soul. And I pray tonight as we seek to bring you to the cross, and as we seek to consider God's precious Word this evening, that the Holy Spirit again will take the Word of God and apply it upon your heart and upon your soul. Now there's a number of things I want you to notice here. And I do hope that you have a Bible open before you. I want you to notice, first of all, the prophecies of Christ's death fulfilled. Look what it says at the latter part of verse 3. It says this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, I want you to underline in your Bible that last phrase, according to the Scriptures. What does it mean when it says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures? Well, it means this. The Scriptures here that Paul is referring to are, of course, the Old Testament Scriptures. How do I know this? Because the New Testament had not been written yet. You see, when the Bible tells us here that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, it means that the Lord Jesus Christ died according to the Old Testament Scriptures. Therefore, when Paul said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, he meant that Christ died exactly the way the Old Testament declared he would die. In other words, every prophecy concerning the death of Christ in the Old Testament was fulfilled in every minute detail by the Son of God when he died on Calvary's cross. You see, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was fulfilling the Old Testament Scriptures. Because in the Old Testament, God declared not only that his Son would die, but God also gave details of how his Son would die. And when Christ did eventually go to the cross and die, he fulfilled every one of those prophecies in every minute detail. What a wonderful Bible we have. What a wonderful Scripture we have. And praise God, when we study the Old Testament, we can read there the different prophecies concerning the death of the Lord Jesus. And when Christ came to die on the cross, when he eventually died, he fulfilled every one of those Old Testament prophecies. Now, we haven't got the time tonight to consider all the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross. But I want to draw your attention to just a few of them. I want you, first of all, to turn over in your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, that portion of Scripture that Dr. Douglas read. Now, what I want you to do is this. I'm going to read some of the Old Testament prophecies from the Old Testament. I don't want you to look them up. I want you but to see the fulfillment of them in Matthew chapter 27. And I pray that the Lord will bless your heart and speak to your soul. My friend, if you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully, because man's redemption was planned. Planned away back in eternity past. That's how much God loves the sinner. That's how much God loved you tonight and loves you tonight. Because away back in eternity past, God planned that his only begotten Son would come and die on a cross. And in the Old Testament, the prophets
declared that he would die and how he would die, the circumstances of his death. For example, Psalm 22 verse 16. And this prophecy was declared by the psalmist hundreds of years before the events in Matthew chapter 27. But in that psalm, verse 16, we read these words, "They pierced my hands and my feet." You know, the interesting fact about that prophecy is this, that when the prophet prophesied those words, there was no such thing as crucifixion. But here we have the psalmist hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, and he's prophesying that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, would come and be nailed to a cross. Matthew 27 verse 35, we read these words, "And they crucified him." There we have the fulfillment of Psalm 22 verse 16. Another prophecy, Psalm 22 verse 18. Listen to these words, to this prophecy. "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Take a look at verse 35 again of Matthew chapter 27. We have the fulfillment of this prophecy. It says there, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets." It even tells us here in the text that is a fulfillment. "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Let me read you another one, Isaiah 53 verse 12. "And he was numbered with the transgressors." Hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus died, the prophets prophesied that he would be crucified among transgressors. And then, of course, if you take a look there at Matthew 27, look at verse 38, we have the fulfillment of that prophecy. "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And then we could draw your attention to another prophecy, Psalm 69 and verse 21. Listen to these words, "They give me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they give me vinegar to drink." Again, hundreds of years before the actual event, the psalmist prophesied that this would take place. Take a look at verse 34 of Matthew chapter 27. You read these words, "They give him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." Another prophecy, Zechariah 12 verse 10, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Again, a prophecy declaring that after the soldiers had crucified the Lord, that they would gaze upon the one that they had just crucified. Look at verse 36 of Matthew chapter 27. "And sitting down, they watched him there." My friend, I have gone through those prophecies very quickly. Those are just a number of the many, many prophecies concerning the death of Christ that we have in the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, he fulfilled every one of them, every last one of them. That's what it means when it says here that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It means that he died the way the Old Testament declared he would die. It means that he fulfilled all the prophecies concerning his death at Calvary. Here we have the prophecies of Christ's death fulfilled. Praise God, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and there laid down his life, he died in the way in which it was planned for him to die. That's how great a Savior we have. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Turn back again to our text over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because in this text of Scripture we see something else. Not only the prophecies of Christ's death fulfilled, he died according to the Scriptures, but I want you to notice the purpose of Christ's death revealed. Our text says, and look at it carefully, Christ died
for our sins.
Underline that. You know, there's only one reason why the Lord Jesus Christ died, to fulfill Scripture, and that was to become the substitute for sinners. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins.
Let me read out some references very quickly. Galatians 1 verse 4 says, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 John 3 verse 5 says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All those texts speak of the substitutionary work of Christ upon the cross. What is a substitute? We all know what a substitute is. A substitute is one who takes the place of another. And praise God, on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our hell in his own body upon the tree. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I wonder, have you ever stopped for a few moments to consider how Christ died for our sins? Christ died willingly for our sins. The Bible says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Peter said, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he suffered. But when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And thank God, when the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, he made no resistance. He uttered no complaint, but he went willingly to die there upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow for our sins. He died willingly. And not only did he die willingly for our sins, but he died painfully. My friend, the truth is, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, or he won the souls that were lost. Think of the crown of thorns that was battered into his lovely brow. Think of the nails that pierced his hands and feet. Think of the whip that lashed his back and made it like a ploughed field. Think of the pain, the physical pain and the mental pain that the Lord Jesus suffered upon Golgotha's brow. He died for our sins willingly, and he died for our sins painfully. And I'll tell you, men and women, he died for our sins once only. Because the Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And thank God, when he cried, it is finished, man's redemption was completed once and for all. But you know, there's something else I want you to notice. The Lord Jesus not only died for our sins willingly and painfully and once only, but the Lord Jesus died for our sins atoningly. There's a text of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. And in that text of Scripture we read these words, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. In other words, Jesus Christ on the cross was made sin for us. That is, he was treated as if he had himself been sin. You know, C.H. Spurgeon said, when the judge of all the earth said, what is sin? Christ presented himself. He stood before his Father as if he had been the accumulation of all human guilt, as if he himself were that thing which God cannot endure, but which he must drive from his presence forever. My hear, we have the extent of Christ's substitutionary work on the cross of Calvary. It was not just a matter of Christ identifying with our sin, but he had to bear our sins in his own body upon the tree. God the Father had to treat his Son as sin. Otherwise, sin would never have been punished on the behalf of sinners. We often sing that hymn and how true it is. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. The Lord Jesus, when he died upon the cross, he died for our sins. He bore my hell in his own body upon the tree. Just think about that for a moment. All the hell that I should have borne throughout all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ, in 3 hours of darkness, bore that hell in his own body. Oh, my friend, what a Savior. What a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. And thank God this evening, that's the wonderful and the glorious message of the gospel. Sinner, tonight, I want you to see the plan of the cross. I want you to see how the scriptures dovetail together. How the Old Testament prophets declared that the Savior would come. And how when we turn to the New Testament, the Savior did come and fulfilled every prophecy declared in the Old Testament when he died upon the cross. But I want you to see that when he died upon the cross, he died there for our sins. He shed his precious blood for our iniquities. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, I wonder this evening, what does the cross of Christ mean to you? Is it just a story? Oh, I pray this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the Word of God tonight and write it upon your heart. And I pray this evening, as you consider the cross, and as you look upon Calvary, and as you think upon the Son of God dying upon the middle tree in Golgotha's brow, that you will remember, that you will remember that the Lord Jesus died for your sins and for my sins. He died so that we might live forever. He died so that we could be saved and go to heaven. He died in order to redeem us from hell and from judgment to come. This week we have dealt with many subjects. We have dealt with death and the judgment to come. We have dealt with heaven. We have considered hell. We have looked at the second coming of Christ. Listen, men and women, tonight we're dealing with the cross. And but for the cross, we would die and be lost forever. But for the cross, we would never get into heaven. But for the cross, we would only receive the judgment of God at the second coming of Christ. Oh, can you see the importance of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. The prophecies that have been fulfilled, the purpose that is revealed. But I want you to notice something else here. I want you to take a look at the text again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to look at the first part of the text this time. Because in the first part of the text, we learn this. We learn about the personal application of Christ's death received. What does Paul say here? Paul says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Now, if you're not saved in the meeting, I want you to underline those words. If you have a Bible in front of you, and if you haven't a Bible in front of you, let me read them again to you. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Sinner, the death of Christ will do nothing for you and mean nothing to you unless you come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. The sacrificial death of Christ on the cross will not save you unless you personally receive Christ as your Redeemer. Not only did Paul believe that the Lord Jesus had died personally for him, but Paul also had received the Lord Jesus as his Redeemer and was now depending upon the finished work of Christ on the cross for his eternal salvation. There was a day in Paul's life when he was saved, when he met the Lord, and when he received the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and when he trusted
in the finished work of Calvary. And of course we're familiar, I'm sure, with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 9 tells us how he met the Lord, how the Lord spoke to him, and how he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Paul had to receive Christ as his Savior. Paul had to put his faith in the finished work of Calvary. My friend, have you received Christ? What does the cross mean to you? Are you trusting alone tonight in the finished work of Calvary for your eternal salvation? You know, the Bible says, "For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Salvation is a personal thing. I'm sure that you've heard about the cross many times. But my friend, have you ever been to the cross? You say to me, "Preacher, what do you mean? Sure, the Lord Jesus died over 2,000 years ago. How could I get to the cross?" You get to the cross by faith. The night I was saved, I bowed by faith at the cross, recognizing that only Jesus Christ could save me, recognizing that he died to save me, recognizing that only his blood that he shed on the cross could redeem me. And I put my faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus did for me on the place called Calvary. My friend, that's what I mean when I say, have you ever been to the cross? You need to get to the cross tonight. You need to, by faith, put your trust in the Lord Jesus and be gloriously saved for time and for eternity. You know, when the Lord Jesus walked upon this scene of time, he saved a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, for a moment. And in this portion of Scripture, Zacchaeus, the Bible tells us he receives Christ. Look what it says there in verse 5. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Verse 6 says, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." That's what Paul did on the Damascus Road. That's what Paul is speaking about in our text when he speaks about, "which I also received." And Zacchaeus here is receiving Christ as his Savior. And you know what the Lord says about Zacchaeus' conversion? Look at verse 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house." This day is salvation come to this house. My friend, can you look back to a day when salvation came to your house, came to your heart, came to your life? Is the cross only a story in the Bible? Oh, the personal application of Christ's death received. You must receive Christ as your Savior. You must accept and believe that his death on the cross was for you, and you must cry unto him for mercy. And praise God, if you do, then, like Paul and like Zacchaeus, then you will live forever and forever and forever and forever. Oh, come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. And thank God this evening, no matter how sinful you are, no matter how long you've traveled down that road of sin and iniquity, no matter how deep you have got into it, I have good news for you tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth you from all sin. You can be redeemed tonight. All your sins can be forgiven. All your iniquities can be cleansed. Why? Because Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And if you come in childlike faith
and receive Him tonight and trust Him tonight. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Right now. In the seat you're sitting. Right now. Before you leave this meeting. Right now. Before another day passes. You can know the power of the blood of the Lamb.